Harp on Sports with Seth Harp.
You know what time it is.
3, 2, 1.
Let's do this.
Go, bartender! Your food needs refill!
Harp on Sports, the bar, podcast, media, audio, radio, and network. What do we have in store for you on this edition of the program? A little Final Fours as Final Four basketball on the men's side. Collision course, Purdue and UConn. The women's side a little different, but South Carolina has punched their ticket. LSU, Iowa, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, the winner of that collision course with South Carolina women's. So both of these Final Fours, if you can get to the ultimate showcase, you're going to have something pretty special. So we're going to look at that. Also, speaking of collegiate sports, Jack Caglione of the Florida Gators. Is he more dominant in baseball than any other male Gator sports figure has been at their sport? He's more dominant baseball player than Tim Tebow was a football player. More dominant baseball player than Joakim Noah or Corey Brewer was a college basketball player. Ooh, interesting. So we're going to look at that. And also, baseball's bell, ding, gets rang. Opening weekend, pretty solid start for baseball. And then we see what's going to happen with expansion as it gets pushed back because of what's going on in Oakland. And I'm trying to think in sports, if there's ever been a city that hates its fans more than Oakland hates A's fans. So we'll circle the wagons on that as well. Again, Harp on Sports, the bar, podcast, media, audio, and radio network. Follow, share, like, subscribe at Harp on Sports Twitter, at Harp on Sports Instagram, Harp on Sports Auditory Route, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Podcast, under Harp on Sports, the bar, Harp on Sports Facebook page, Harp on Sports, the bar, of course, the YouTube channel, and of course, HarpOnSports.com. Final Four, Final Fours. You know, Bama, not likely. NC State, definitely not likely a candidate to get there. And Purdue and UConn right out of the chalk. And look, I don't think anybody's going to beat UConn. Purdue's the only team that's got a shot. Because Purdue's front court's big enough that UConn's their pick and rolls and the things that they run and the size there. The teams that get in trouble against Purdue's because they run out of fouls on the big guys, Edie. And what happens in those situations is Purdue, like a game against Tennessee, Purdue shot terribly from the field. They were awful from behind the arc, but Zach Edey's good for 28 and 15 a game. So what are you going to do? What are UConn's big guys going to do? Are UConn's big guys going to get in foul trouble against Edie? If Edie gets in foul trouble against them, forget it. But he's pretty smart. He doesn't necessarily try to block every shot, but he alters them. He's really, really smart. That's your collision course. NC State, it's a great story, but come on. And look, the Final Four, they almost got it, right? They almost got Bama, UConn, Duke, and Purdue. They almost had a pretty solid. It wasn't as blue bloody as a couple years ago when you had, what, Kansas, Villanova, Duke, and North Carolina. Is that 2 years ago now that we had that one? Yikes. Villanova, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina. I don't know if you're going to top that blue blood-wise. You had a decent shot. You have four different conferences represented, which is amazing because we all talked about throughout the course of the year, the best conference is probably the Big 12, and that's the one conference that's on the outside looking in. So you get a little bit about everything. Now, the West Coast doesn't really get representation right. You got the Midwest, the South, and a couple from the East. So west of the Mississippi, sorry, again. Sorry. Last year you had San Diego State. No, but look, they're not all blue bloods. Purdue's never won a championship. NC State hasn't won one in 40 years. UConn's won, what, five the last 25. And then you've got Bama, who's going to their first Final Four. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic as you head out to the desert. But again, that Purdue-UConn collision course, been the best two teams in college basketball all year. If they meet, there you go. Women-wise, and this is what's going to be interesting. If it had been Duke and Purdue, then I wouldn't have said this. But it's not. It's NC State and Purdue and UConn and Bama. The Iowa-LSU women's game Monday night will do better than the men's games on Saturday. Monday night, Iowa-LSU, oh my. Here you go. And the women's championship setting up. You know, the dream scenario, of course, is Caitlin Clark stars in prime time. Undefeated South Carolina, Caitlin Clark trying to slay the beast. That's your storyline. LSU versus South Carolina works as well. It's a little more regional. Caitlin Clark's a bigger draw than Angel Reese and LSU. They just are. Now, doesn't mean that they're going to win. But the women's championship, you know, and think about it. You're going to have South Carolina going up against who? I just have a tough time finding any capacity in which NC State beats South Carolina on the women's side. And then you've got UConn floating out there. You're going to, you know, Iowa to get past UConn, then to beat South Carolina. Think about those three straight games for Iowa. And which is funny about this is everybody talks about how it's rigged. It's rigged for Caitlin Clark. This is rigged. Really? So let me get this straight. It's rigged that Caitlin Clark and Iowa have to go through LSU, then UConn, then South Carolina to win it. Oh boy, that sounds like easy street. Come on. Think before we say things. But that Iowa-LSU game, no, it's not the men's championship game on Monday night. Look, if it's Purdue and UConn, it'll do gangbusters. It's going to be tough to beat it. Even if it's UConn and NC State or Purdue and Bama, it's going to be tough for the women's game on Monday night to beat the men's game next Monday night. It just is. But this is an Elite Eight matchup. I got news for you. Iowa-LSU will do better than any of the men's games this past weekend. Just will. I'm looking forward to it. Must see basketball. Must consume basketball. Monday night. Looking forward to it. I am. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward more to LSU and Iowa than I am any of the Final Four matchups. I'd be lying if I said, you know, I get Duke. Or if I get UConn and Purdue, I'm looking forward to that too. But here we go. Here we go. So, Final Fours, you have a chance. Like I said, the women's side could feature South Carolina, UConn, and Iowa. The men have the two big dogs. If Duke would have gotten there, then you could have had three big names going at it. But it's been a pretty solid tournament run. Oh, by the way, it's rigged. It's rigged. I keep hearing this. It's rigged. It's rigged. Well, South Carolina went undefeated. They didn't win it last year. Rigging what? Duke? So the committee decided they'd rather have this rigging group rather have NC State than Duke. I always think it's funny that it's rigged. It's rigged. Well, wouldn't you have all blue bloods there? It's rigged. I love it. It's rigged. It's rigged. Well, then why? You know, I got a kick out of that. It's rigged for the Chiefs. Well, why aren't they the one seed in the AFC? Well, you only can rig so much. Oh, so they rig it. This master Bilderberg group behind the scenes rigging everything, except not they can't do it all. Rigged for LeBron. How come he's lost more finals than he's won? I don't know. When it's rigged, all you have to do is ask one question. It pretty much ends it. So there you go. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the Final Fours. From that to this, Jack Caglione. You know, college baseball, it doesn't move the needle. It really doesn't. Like college basketball, college football, even women's college basketball moves the needle more than college baseball. But Jack Caglione, what he's doing at Florida, he was probably the best all-around baseball player collegiately last year. And this year, he's just putting on a show again. What do you have last year? He had over 30 home runs. What, 33 home runs, 97 RBI, hit 350. This year, he's on pace to hit that many home runs again, if not actually more. On pace to drive in close to 100 runs. And what's he, 4-0 on the mound? He hits another walk-off home run to win on Sunday. And we are now getting to the point with Jack Caglione that you can start to compare him to the other greats in the other sports in terms of his dominance at the University of Florida. Jack Caglione, what he's doing in baseball, in his domination of baseball, is on par, if not stronger, than Tim Tebow's domination of college football. We're getting there. We're very close. The only difference is Caglione's going to come out early. Or he's going to enter of course, he's eligible. He's not staying around. Tebow chose to come back. What Joakim Noah and Corey Brewer and those guys did basketball-wise, of course, Mike Miller was only 1 year. You know, Jason Williams, what these guys did basketball-wise, extremely impressive. But Jack Caglione, you know, Emmitt Smith had a great NFL career, but collegiately, Fred Taylor, great NFL career. Collegiately, Jack Caglione is the most dominant Gator male athlete ever. That's hard to say in his sport. Well, he's not going to rewrite record books because he's only going to be 3 years. And it's fascinating to watch him the last 2 years. He would have been a top five pick last year. When it's all said and done, what's he, 4-0 on the mound right now, whatever, right in that range, 3-0, 4-0, and he's going to hit 30 home runs. He's probably going to finish the year like 8-2 on the mound, 7-2 on the mound. What he's done is just remarkable. Remarkable. Keep dropping my pen. So, again, I try to sit here and, you know, people keep comparing him to Shohei Ohtani. He's Ohtani. He's Ohtani. No, he's not. You know who he is? Barry Bonds. He's Barry Bonds. Lefty at the plate. You cannot pitch to him in key situations. He will burn you. He will burn you. And, it's one of those things that you have to get the guy in front of him out. You just have to. I saw an interesting stat the other day. What Lou Gehrig in 19, I can't remember what year it was. Was it 29? That he had like 168 RBIs. And that's with Babe Ruth clearing the bases 60 times before he did. Think about that. Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs in the late 20s in a season, which means Lou Gehrig came up 60 times with the bases empty and still had 168 RBI. Oh, that's remarkable. Jack Caglione, look, he's putting up numbers. I don't know how you pitch to him. Go down to first base. 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 He's only two walks behind of where he got all year last year. He's more patient at the plate. I don't know how you pitch to him in the conference. I don't. No way. No way. Jack Caglione. Who do they play next week? Is it Vandy next week? 0-0, four walks. Have fun. I'll take my chances. Well, then somebody else will beat you. Fine. He's not. Jack Caglione is becoming the Barry Bonds of college baseball. You can't pitch. You can't. If you prefer David Ortiz, fine. David Ortiz. I know Barry's been 20 plus years ago. David Ortiz is in the last decade. You can't pitch to him. Down to first you go. I'm not pitching to you. No way. Nope. He keeps up this pace. I mean, let's face it. This team is 500 without him. Without Jack Caglione, this team's a 500 baseball team. And Mississippi State, I know they got burned. That should be a warning shot across the bow for the rest of the conference. Vandy, South Carolina, sorry, have fun at first base. I'm not pitching to you. Not. It could be a 2-2 game or a 4-4 game in the bottom of the ninth, and I'm walking him. Not beat me. He's not. No way. The Barry Bonds of the Gators. Not Ohtani. I like the Ohtani because he does both things at the plate. He's in Barry Bonds, David Ortiz territory. Teams like Tigers pitching to Ortiz in the postseason. What, he had that one playoff, 700, 660. No way. Nope. You see it in college football or you see it in the NFL. I'm going to double team Travis Kelce. Somebody else is going to have to beat me. Well, Mahomes will beat you then. Then fine, beat me, but he's not. Nope. Not going to let it happen. It's not. We'll see. We'll see what teams do. But Jack Caglione is, he's casting a pretty big shadow right now. And you can start to have the conversation that he is the greatest Gator male sports figure ever. Getting close. Wanted to wrap with this. It was a good first weekend for baseball. It was a good first weekend for Major League Baseball. What Mookie Betts did in his opening series, he had like four home runs and 10 RBI. Good gracious. God. And nice job, Red Sox. So what he did opening weekend, and you know, you look around the league and you know, there's so many young stars in the sport now, and you have guys entering there like in the middle of their prime, like Trout and Bryce Harper now are at the halfway point, if not on the other end, looking back, and still going to be 30, 35 home run guys, if not more a game. The Yankees are off to a 4-0 start. Oh, it was such a good opening weekend for baseball. And then you get what happened in Oakland, where the city of Oakland decided that, you know what? And look, the A's will do it. They have no shame. City of Oakland decided, you know what? These fans are upset and they're miserable. We don't care how it looks. Let's just get some money. So the Oakland A's have a proposal on the table from the city of Oakland, a 5-year extension at the Coliseum that they can opt out after 3 years. So in other words, the A's get to stay in Oakland for 3 more years. Oh, they got to pay them $97 million though. So the city of Oakland looked around and said, you know what? These fans are upset. They're miserable. Let's keep the A's around for 3 more years. Let's just torture the hell out of these fans here as much as possible. If you're an A's fan and you don't go to a game, if you go to a game, I don't get it. Well, I love them. Well, they're leaving you. The Oakland A's will stay in Oakland for, it looks like, 3 more years as they figure out what they're going to do in Vegas. Can't get this thing built. If I were a city like Nashville, I would be all over this. If I were a city like Charlotte, I would be all over this. I'd be like, hey, come here. We'll play in our AAA park. We want you. You know, the fact that Vegas can't figure this out, and Oakland, those owners really, really want to end up there. So it's a different beast. And I know Major League Baseball wants to expand, but they can always expand to Vegas as they get ready to tear down the Tropicana. They can't figure this out. But think about that logic. If you're the city of Oakland, it's like, well, at least we can make some more money on this. I'll tell you what, A's, we'll let you stay for 3 more years if you give us $97 million. Aren't you just delaying the inevitable? The Oakland A's, the A's in Oakland, are like an old dog that you're just keeping around to keep around. Can't walk, can't... Somebody on life support. You only can patch things so many times. Get somebody that's got something that they love so much, like an old pair of shoes, and they keep patching them and patching them. And, cars, maybe the car is a better example of anything. Oh, the car held it together with spit and glue. It's got 270, my truck's got 430,000 miles on it. Okay, let's patch it some more. That's what this is. Put it out of its misery. That poor fan base. You're going to drag them through this for 3 more years? You're going to drag the fans of Oakland through this for 3 years. Now, apparently the A's were arguing with Major League Baseball A's, the city, and what the city wanted, and they kind of relented a little bit. The city demanded at first, it's just ridiculous, that the A's name stays, all the records stay, and they get first dibs at expansion. And Major League Baseball said, never going to happen. No way. They said, okay, we'll just take money then. And baseball said, sure. Optics are important, but not for whatever reason, not here. Yeah, whatever. We'll be in Oakland in 2028. We'll be out of, oh, so we'll be in Oakland in 2027, but in 28, we'll have a shiny new park in Vegas or somewhere else. Again, I don't know why Nashville and Charlotte aren't all over this right now. If I were Charlotte or Nashville, I'd be, hey man, let's go. If you had the funding and you had money right now, you could get the A's, you could put a proposal on the table and really put pressure on this. But I think Nashville and Charlotte and cities like that are kind of sitting around going, we want something fresh. We want something new. The A's ownership's terrible. Moving them here, is that really going to make that much of a difference? I think we want to start new. And I get that. I do. Think about that. Vegas can't figure this out. All the cities that have wanted professional baseball all these years look around and go, we want professional baseball. But not that. Not that franchise. Yikes. It's torturing these poor people. Good news, A's fans. The team's going to stay for 3 more years. And then they're going to leave. It's like having a girlfriend or a wife. I'm going to continue to see other people, but I'm still going to live in the house. There's your analogy. I'm going to see other people. We're married, but we're going to get a divorce. But don't worry, I'm still going to live in the house. But I'm going to leave down the road once I get everything figured out. I'll leave some couple years. Here's some money. Oh, baby. Welcome to Oakland. Harp on Sports, the bar, podcast, media, audio, radio network. Follow, share, like, subscribe at Harp on Sports Twitter, at Harp on Sports Instagram. Auditory Route, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Harp on Sports, The Bar, under that heading, Harp on Sports Facebook page, Harp on Sports, the YouTube channel, The Bar, and of course, harponsports.com. Remember, stay clean, stay focused, stay strong. Frankenstein! Have fun with your friends.